Talking to you about a comparison of the two syndromic surveillance systems, ILINET and the Tarrant County School Health Surveillance System. Okay, this work has been supported by the Texas Department of State Health Services Infectious Disease Control Unit through a grant that we received from them. We declare no competing financial or non-financial interests. So to provide you some background on influenza surveillance, every year we have seasonal outbreaks of influenza. It's just a matter of when they're going to occur. And so, and with the rising and increasing threats of pandemic influenza outbreaks like H5N1, H1N1 that we recently experienced, there's definitely a greater need for earlier detection of influenza illness in the community. And this is so that public health can definitely become more involved in preventing the spread of the disease to at-risk populations and others that are that need to be protected from infection. So there are different ways that influenza surveillance occurs. Syndromic surveillance systems can be useful as early detection tools for infectious disease outbreaks. One type of data stream is absenteeism data, and absenteeism data in the sense of schools. So when parents send their children, you know, to school, when they're sick and they're absent, some of that information can be collected, and then we may be able to capture this information and learn more about what's occurring in that environment, and it may be an indicator for us of less severe illness. So syndromic surveillance is actually the application of real-time or near real-time pre-diagnostic indicators of disease, illnesses, and outbreaks. And for example, some of you may be familiar with emergency department data, the syndromic surveillance systems where patients present to an emergency department, their symptoms are recorded and sent electronically to a syndromic surveillance system, and then alerts are created as to increases in the frequency of different types of syndromes. And so the syndrome of interest for us is influenza-like illness. And that's defined, according to the CDC definition, temperature of 100 degrees Fahrenheit or greater, and a cough and or sore throat in the absence of other known causes. And other symptoms, of course, can include malaise, muscle aches, runny nose, various things that we're very familiar with the flu. So the CDC in 1997 developed the U.S. Outpatient Influenza-Like Network Surveillance System. It was previously known as the Sentinel Provider Surveillance Network, and so it's today called ILINET. So what happens there is Sentinel providers, and those Sentinel providers can be pediatricians or physicians from a general practice, they report the total number of patients that they see each week for all causes, and then they also report those numbers of patients that have influenza-like illness symptoms. And so the CDC collects that data, or those data, from in different age groups. So they'll group it by 0 to 4, 5 to 24 years, 50 to 64, and anyone over 65 years of age. So Tarrant County, the school health surveillance system, was first developed in 2007. Just to give you a little bit of background about Tarrant County, it's in the state of Texas. It is the 16th most populous county in the U.S., with 1.5 million people living there, and it's also the third most populous county in the state of Texas. So they developed their school health surveillance system in 2007 and piloted it in that year. What it does is it collects daily all-cause and flu-like illness absenteeism data from school nurses and participating schools across the county. And this is also from elementary, middle, and high school, so all those age groups are covered in that system. And you can see a screen capture of the system over here to your left. Specifically, they would enter some of the data in here about how many they had, how many students were absent, and how many of those students were absent due to ILI, were they seen by a nurse, and so on and so forth, just to get some, to be able to collect some additional information from the school nurses and attendance clerks. So the objectives for our research were to compare the time at which there's a significant increase in ILI frequency and whether that's how it's detected by each of those two data streams. So we have the Tarrant County Health Surveillance System compared to ILINET. And we also wanted to explore whether or not there was something going on, you know, within the school type. So if this varied by school type, elementary, middle, or high school, and whether that offered any additional insight. So just to give you some background on the data streams, the CDC's ILI net is, what we did was we limited it to the ages of 5 to 24, because that's as close as we could get to the age group of the school from elementary through high school. We only focused on data that were reported in Tarrant County by Tarrant County surveillance sentinel providers because we just wanted to be able to focus on that specific county and not include other providers who have been reporting across the state of Texas because there can be geographic variability with flu outbreaks and illness, and so that was the main reason why we focused on that group. And then we looked at the 2008, 2009, and 2010 flu season specifically. We left out the first year because that was when it was really starting, it was first starting to get started, and the information was variable at that time. And then with the Tarrant County School Health Surveillance System, we excluded reports that did not include ILI data. We only, for complete subject analysis, we only use those reports of that where the school nurses reported ILI absent. So if a school nurse just reported the total number absent for that day, then that information was excluded because we had no information on flu-like illness. So one of the novel approaches that we used in our research study was to look at different types of analyses, and the conventional analysis, which was what had been recently in an April 2011 publication, where they basically used correlation coefficients to describe the similarities between two different surveillance systems. So this is just to give you an idea that in this study, they found that these two surveillance systems were very highly correlated with a correlation coefficient of 0.72, and then at that point, that's where they come to their conclusion that these two systems do well at saying that they're highly correlated and can be used for syndromic surveillance. So what is really the Pearson's correlation coefficient? And so this is, basically we find out that it's a measure of linear relation between two continuous variables. And so this ranges from negative 1 to 1. And so if you have an R, or a correlation coefficient, of negative 1, that indicates perfect negative linear relation between the variables. And then, of course, 1 would indicate a perfect positive linear relation. So one of the issues with the correlation coefficient is in comparing surveillance data and streams, is that in this example, using simulated data, you can see that, for some reason the R is not here, but the correlation coefficient in this specific, I had it over here on the other side, but the R equals about 0.72, it's statistically significant, so there would actually be, your conclusions from this would be that these are highly correlated data streams. But as you can see here, the green line, the data trend on that, it definitely does not show any detection of any type of outbreak or increase in frequency of anything. The other one you can see, there are increases and peaks and different valleys of having to do with the fluctuating influenza illness. Ah, there it is. So it's 0.78. So you can see that it's highly correlated, but visually we can see that there's really no detection in this situation. Okay, so we have another similar situation here, except for this time we have two highly correlated streams of data, but what the difference here is the lead time. So we don't know which one's really detecting it earlier just by saying that these are highly correlated. So the real question is for us is whether or not which system can detect this increase in flu-like illness the earliest. Not whether they're correlated, because we would actually anticipate that they would be correlated. If you have children going to the, absent from school, and you have people going to the pediatricians and that are sick, then we would expect during the flu season that those two data streams would be highly correlated. And so for us, we want to know what's actual lead time and what actually detected the increase the earliest. So basically what it comes down to is that there are problems associated with using the correlation coefficient in surveillance systems, specifically flu. And so these examples illustrate that the conventional analysis using the correlation coefficient can be misleading. As you saw from the first and the second, they're highly correlated, but what does this really tell us? And then also, it doesn't help us to elucidate which system facilitates earlier detection of increased flu activity. So what we did was we used change point regression using Monte Carlo permutation test. And what this does is it helps to basically, it basically simulates the sampling of your data over and over to help address some of the variability within your data. And so we also used a Poisson model with statistical significance of a change point set at alpha equals 0.05, and the permutations 4,999. So it's sampled from that population with replacement 4,999 times. And we selected this method over linear regression for model fitting because of the non-normally distributed ILI proportions that we had seen in our data sets. We also compared the time at which statistically significant increases in ILI frequency occurred for each surveillance stream during each flu season. So for our surveillance characteristics for our data streams, we have ILINET, and there were three sentinel providers in Tarrant County. And they were all pediatricians, but there was only one pediatrician that reported consistently during the study period. With the Tarrant County School Health Surveillance System, you can see that beginning in the 2008 season, the number of schools participating in this system increased. So here we had 150 in basically the first full year of the system, and then in 2010 we had over 200 schools participating. Primarily those schools were elementary schools, and you can see that was followed by middle and then high schools. And then there are 16 independent school districts in Tarrant County. So at the 2010-2011 flu season, we had 11 school districts represented in our system. And then we also looked at the reports by pre-winter break, those that were pre-spring break, and at the end of the school year. And you can see here, typically this is what we would see, is that during the pre-spring break year, which is when we see our normal kind of flu season outbreaks occurring, the peak of the flu season on average is in February, but that varies, of course, depending on the strains that are circulating. So we have an increase in the number of reports during this specific time, which you can see here. And then in the 2009 with the pandemic, you can see here at the very start of the school year, school nurses were very heavily participating in the system. So we had 102 schools actually reporting the system prior to the winter break. And then again in the 2010, we see a basic similar trend but as the first year, but it's still kind of spread out where we'll see the majority of the schools increase their reporting during the typical flu season height of it in like January, February. So when we ran our joint point analysis, we found that in the 2009-2010 and 2010-11 flu seasons, some interesting findings. In ILINET, the change point was detected at week 5, and week 5 is actually February 7th of that year. And then in the school health surveillance system, overall we found that the change point reflected an increase in flu-like illness in that next week, and that was February 14th. That's the week ending. That's how the morbidity mortality weekly report MMWR. So that's basically week 6 is the end of the week for February 14th. And then we'll see that in elementary, middle, and high schools, there wasn't much difference. So we feel pretty comfortable with just saying that we used the overall to explain what was going on. 2009-2010, we saw the change point in ILINET week 41, which was October 17th. So if you remember, that was, again, the pandemic flu season. And then we also saw in the school health surveillance system a couple weeks prior to that was actually October 3rd, and that's when it detected the increase. So it's very similar. So like with the 2010 flu season, we saw week 8, that was February 26th, and with the school data, we found the end of January 29th. So this is just the visual representation of these peaks. So what we did was we had the time series here with the year of the week the year and the week for each of for the x-axis, and then we put the percent patient visits for ILI on the y-axis, and then you can see the change points, very similar to what we see in the peak for the trends, the time trends. And then again, we have a lot more data points because we have daily data and not weekly data in the school surveillance system, and the peak is right there at the change point. And again, this is 2009 during the pandemic, so you can see it's earlier in the typically in the flu season. And our confidence intervals are illustrated using these lines. And you can see too, just as a note, because there's only one provider reporting in the ILINET system, there are very wide confidence intervals. So in summary, the Tarrant County School Health Surveillance System may detect a significant increase in ILI frequency comparable to or modestly earlier than the local ILINET system. And then school type, the reporting didn't appear to be related to any type of influence by school type. But what we would like to especially note is that these results are limited by small samples, so they're underpowered. And so even with the subgroup analysis, very underpowered. The stability and the countywide generalizability of the ILI prevalence reported by one provider for ILINET is questionable, and we had all of those schools reporting nearly up into 200 with the schools. So what does this tell us? So basically, from our public health action standpoint, we need to generate reliable evidence through additional years of data, because in the end, we only had really three data points, those three flu seasons. So we need additional years of data, improved participation rates, especially by the sum of providers in ILINET, and then evaluation as a real-time surveillance system with prospective data monitoring. So they have systems like Essence, which can take the data and monitor it real-time instead of looking at it like we did retrospectively to see when the actual change point or peak occurred within the system. And I would like to thank my collaborators, Dr. Oja, Dr. Singh, Dr. Anita Kurian at the Tarrant County Public Health Division of EPI and Health Information Services at the local health department, and of course the Texas Tomorrow State Health Services for funding the research.